gather in the Lord's house this day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. I'm thankful for the rain, because we did need the rain, but I'm also thankful for the opportunity to worship as the body of Christ this morning. As we worship, I do want to point out just a couple things coming up in the next few weeks. Going forward, each Sunday, we are still planning to have our drive-in worship service at 9:30 and our inside worship at 11 o'clock. As we've been saying for weeks and months, we know the cold weather is coming. And when the cold weather finally gets here, then we will just transition just to the inside worship service. However, we had 80-degree weather this week, and so the Lord has blessed us with an unusually warm time period. So each week I'll kind of let you know, try to let you know a week in advance, but if we notice that the weather is turning significantly colder during the week, we'll make that decision. But right now, for next Sunday, we plan on gathering for our drive-in worship service at 9:30 and our indoor worship service at 11, and our indoor worship service will continue to be streamed on Facebook Live. Also want to remind some of our church members as well that this afternoon we do have a deacons meeting at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall for all our deacons. We encourage you to come to this meeting as we kind of put some things together as we move forward in the life of the ministry of our church. Also want to remind our vision leadership team that we are scheduled to have a meeting Monday night at 6:30 p.m. and that'll be upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom. So please be aware of those meetings coming up this afternoon and tomorrow. Also encourage you to join me on Wednesday nights via Facebook Live for our Bible study, our Here Comes the Judge study as we walk through the Old Testament book of Judges. This week we'll be looking at Abimelech, the false judge. So I hope you'll join me at 6:30 on Wednesday for this time of study. There are many other things coming up in the life of our church. You can find those in your newsletter, and the November newsletter will be coming out at a later point this week. So look forward to those opportunities. You also hear about a chance to worship with our community coming up in just a couple weeks. I'll share that in just a few moments. Let us praise the Lord today. Let us praise Him with our voices and our presence. Let us worship the Lord this morning. Scripture reading comes from Psalm 90. This morning we'll be reading Psalm 90, 1 through 6, and 13 through 17. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turned me back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night." You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to the children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. As we think about what God provides and bringing us and serving us throughout our lifetime, we are reminded of his constant presence with us, no matter where we are on that life's journey. Let us go to the Lord in prayer, giving him thanks for the opportunity to worship and thanks for his eternal presence with us. Let us pray. Father, every generation has found its home in you, God our provider, and discovered that every moment spent in your holy presence lasts beyond all imaginable time. You watch over us in the night, cradling us in your arms as tenderly as a nurse cares for her children. Full of wisdom, imagination of creation, you humbled yourself that we might learn to love those who have been swept aside by a callous and cruel world. Witness to God's grace, you call us to act in ways of love, of peace, to all we meet in this life. In the fresh breeze of a summer's day, in the leaves dancing across autumn's lawns, in the crisp new snowfall crunching before our feet, in the new life flowering in the spring, from everlasting to everlasting, you proclaim God's grace to us, Spirit of life. God and community, holy and one, continue to be the dwelling place of our minds, our hearts, and our souls. Continue to be present with us in this place, First Baptist Church of Elon, as we seek to honor and praise you through our worship this morning. That is why we have gathered. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please stand and join us as we sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Thank you.
probably one of my all-time favorite hymns. I remember growing up and going to many churches throughout the state of North Carolina with my parents who worked with the Baptist State Convention for Labor Day weekends, and that was one of the songs we always sang in every church across the state. And I just have this, that just brings back special memories of that song, just the words, just the way we're called to walk with the Lord every single day. As we gather today, I do want to point out one thing that will be coming up in 2 weeks here at, not here at First Baptist Elon, but in the Elon community. On Sunday, November 8th, the churches in the Elon community will gather to give thanks to God in the season of Thanksgiving during our annual community Thanksgiving worship service. Recognizing the unique approach that we will need to take in the midst of the COVID pandemic, this service will take place at 2 p.m. at First United Methodist Church of Elon as a drive-in worship service. The Elon ministers decided to move the service outside and earlier in the month, considering the possible change in weather that we've all been expecting that all takes place during this time of year. As a drive-in service, similar to our services at 9:30, we want to encourage our congregants to come and bring their lawn chairs with them. They can sit out beside their cars. Also, if you choose, you can drive and stay in your car and listen to it on the radio, but you have to be in their parking lot for it to go that far, and it'll be streamed on 87.9 FM. Well, our plan is also to try to stream this service live via Facebook Live. We haven't figured out the details yet and which church website it'll be on and which site. We may have multiple Facebook Live streams going on all at the same time. As a part of this worship service, we are encouraging our congregants to bring canned food as an offering to support the Ministry of Salvation Army. This year, Reverend Steve Reagan of Shallowford Christian Church will be bringing the message for the worship experience, and First United Methodist Church of Elon will be providing the music for this worship time. If there is a weather conflict, if it rains on that Sunday and that Sunday afternoon, we will have the service virtually on Facebook Live, and I just encourage you, we'll communicate that on that Sunday if that is the case. I hope you'll join us for our time of community fellowship with our fellow Elon congregants as we live praise during the season of Thanksgiving. Now, may we go to the Lord in prayer as we reflect on the opportunity to give our offering in the time of offering our lives to Him. Let us pray. Lord, you have entrusted us with the awe-inspiring task of sharing the message of your gospel. We acknowledge that we cannot simply just give a monetary tithe and expect your message to be spread throughout the world. We must consistently give ourselves as a living offering, giving our time, our talents, our gifts, and our service to you. Stir within us the courage to be willing to accept the call to be a Christian steward throughout our daily living. Accept these monetary gifts this day as a symbol of our love and our commitment to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. blessed our musicians with. I also want to give a special thank you to our worship and praise team this morning. Sally, Leslie, Nancy, and April, thank you for leading our music in Gay's absence. Gay's okay. She is not sick. Gay and Jerry have traveled up to West Virginia today, this weekend actually, to be with Jonathan, her son, who is having his commissioning service at his church in West Virginia. So they traveled up to be with him this weekend, and we'll be traveling back home tomorrow. So keep Jerry and Gay in your prayers as they travel home tomorrow. But we're thankful that we have many musical gifted individuals in our congregation across the board. Our instrumentalists, our singers, it's just a blessing that even when we have someone who's gone, we can have people who step up and lead. And thank y'all for leading in worship this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this day and prepare for Him, for what He's going to say to us. Let's pray. Father God, we just ask that Your Spirit move among us this day. Speak to us in ways that maybe we aren't expecting. May we listen to not just Your words, but Your presence with us. And may we be moved to honor and serve You this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Again, I want to send out a special good morning to our First Baptist Elon family who are joining us via Facebook Live this morning. It is just a special intimate time to gather in the sanctuary. I'm happy for our congregants that are here this day. I want to thank you for surviving the weather. Be willing to challenge and come out in the midst of the rain. But it is good to be in His house. The Lord has called us together as the body of Christ to be united in building the kingdom of God wherever we gather, whether it be in this place or whether we gather with family or two or more gathered in His name. He is with us, and He is with us this day. Over the next 3 weeks in our sermon time, I'm going to be preaching a sermon series titled Unity in Diversity. And I wanted to just share the inspiration for this sermon series and how this came about, especially in the timing and the season that we're in. A couple months ago, I was having a conversation with a church member here in the fellowship hall. The church member, a dedicated servant and faithful in her pursuit of Christ, just shared with me that she was growing increasingly frustrated with the division that was ever present in our country. Politics, social issues, family divide, even amongst our church laity, she just felt division. There seemed to be division everywhere that she went. As I listened to her share with these emotions and these thoughts, I could resonate with those feelings. I could feel some of that same tension and angst that was going on. And I'm sure probably we're not the only two that are feeling this right now, especially as we draw closer to the election on November 3rd. The divisive speech and actions only seem to be getting louder, increasingly harsh. The other day I was watching TV. I was watching one of the World Series baseball games. My team lost out in the National League Championship Series. That's okay. I still aren't hurt by that. But I was watching this World Series game, and at a commercial break in the middle of the game, there were six straight political ads that were running back to back to back to back to back to back, six straight. And the amazing thing in that those six political ads, it was all focused on tearing down their opponent. There wasn't one word about what this candidate was going to do. Six straight ads was all directed at tearing the other person down. That kind of feeds into a divisiveness in our culture right now. I shared with this church member a couple months ago maybe a little different perspective into how to look at what's going on in the midst of our world, because division is a negative term. Not in math. If you're a math teacher, division is not a bad thing. You know, we all learn division. But division in the world is usually a negative connotation. Instead, I challenged her, and I'm challenging myself, and I'm going to challenge you over the next 3 weeks and beyond, hopefully, that instead of looking at what's going on in the world as division, maybe we focus on diversity. You see, division is negative. But diversity challenges us to see the positive in others. Division doesn't. Diversity does. When we embrace this diversity in our world, we can start to see connections that we have with other fellow humans that maybe we don't even think alike, but we start seeing the connection, which is in God, in Christ. Even in the midst of this heated political campaign focusing on diversity instead of division, diversity as a gift that can lead us to unity in the Spirit. Now, I know you're probably saying, well, that's just easier said than done. Well, I've been bombarded with everything. Divide, 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 divide. And I know that that's the initial thought that ran through my mind. However, I know that through the leadership of Christ, we as Christians can obtain unity in the midst of diversity. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at three key aspects that will help us achieve this in the way we look at the world. This morning, we're going to look at perspective. We're going to look at what our eyes are seeing. And the sermon this morning's title, as you can see, is Whose Eyes Are We Using? And where are we looking? Whose eyes are we using? And where are we looking? Let's see what God's Word says about this perspective this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to turn to Acts chapter 10. This morning we'll be reading verses 9 through 23 this morning. And as you turn to the scripture passage this morning, I want to set the scene of what's going on, because we're going to jump in the middle of a story to focus on one key aspect of it. As you turn, just to know what we're looking at, the early church is growing. After Jesus' ascension into heaven, the disciples began to spread the word of God and spreading the gospel to people they encountered. Their primary focus, however, was on those who had a Jewish heritage, not crossing the cultural divide to reach out to the Gentiles. Peter, being one of the disciples, one of the leaders of disciples, he emerged as a leader not just within the disciple group, but in the Christian church as a whole. And he was passionate about spreading the love message of Jesus to the Jewish population. Prior to our passage, Peter was healing the sick and dying. First, he healed the paralyzed man Aeneas, and then the dead woman Tabitha. And he, after these healings, he was staying in a house in Joppa. He used each of his healing opportunities to evangelize and share the word of God. So in Acts chapter 10, we're introduced also to a Gentile man, a Gentile centurion in the Roman army, a man by the name of Cornelius. Now, a centurion is one who was put in charge of leading 100 soldiers in the Roman army. Cornelius was a God-fearing man. He loved God and he feared God. He was a Gentile. He even gave money, alms to the Jewish people, and he prayed to God regularly. God sends Cornelius a vision, calling him to send his servants to Joppa to a man by the name of Simon Peter, inviting him to come to his home and to share the word of Christ. This brings us to our passage this morning, reading Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 23. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, talking about the servants of Cornelius, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheep was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, The men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. As we read this story about Peter, as we reflect on these words, I think there's three things that we can pull out of this passage of Scripture that speaks to us right now in the midst of what we see as the divided world, but I'm challenging to look at it as a diverse world. To achieve unity in diversity, we must first look at ourselves honestly and recognize that our human eyes have limitations, have misgivings. God was working on the faith understanding of Simon Peter, the disciple. To capture his full attention, the biblical narrative tells us that God sent Peter up on the roof, and he had a vision on the rooftop as he's praying at this residence in Joppa. It is no coincidence that this story shares that as Peter's up there, he's hungry. A meal was being prepared for him by the host that was hosting him in his home. So as he's waiting for this meal to be done, this is when the prayer trance happens. Speaking through the vision, God uses, you're hungry, he uses food as the way to reach out to challenge Peter's understanding his personal misgivings for the way his eyes work. Peter is a devout Jewish man. He is devout in his practice, and as a new Christian, he continued to follow those Jewish practices which were common for all the disciples and for anybody in that Jewish heritage that accepted Christ as his love story. They followed the Jewish law still. Peter, a devout Jewish man, followed the dietary laws from Leviticus chapter 11. It clearly states, this is what you're supposed to eat, and this is what you're not supposed to eat. Clean and unclean food. So Peter, knowing when he sees this spread in front of him, knowing in his mind what's clean and unclean, Peter was just shocked to see God giving him a vision that showed a blanket basically laying in front of them with both clean and unclean animals. To partake of unclean food, in Peter's mind, in Peter's eyes, would make him unclean. He would make him unclean like the Gentiles. Peter initially rejects God's command in the vision to partake of the food. Not just once, not just twice, but three times he tells God, "I'm not going to eat that. That's not good for me. I'm not supposed to do it." After each, God states, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Was God literally talking about food for Peter? Was he really talking about the animals that he had never partaken of before? No, it's not about food. God was challenging Peter's perspective in his own eyes about Gentile people. A people that God was going to challenge him and the other disciples, and later Paul, to go out and preach the message to. Peter's eyes saw division. When he saw that blanket, he saw division in the midst of a food spread. But his life reflected that as well. God's eyes instead saw diversity. Not division. Diversity. Unique aspects of everybody. That's what God's eyes saw. Peter's eyes didn't see that. What are the misgivings that our vision centers on? What are the limitations that our eyes focus on in the world, similar to Peter's? Is it political difference? Is it physical differences, race, gender? Or is it the divide of socioeconomic status, those who have and those who do not have? What are our eyes focused on? What do we point out? That is what Simon Peter was doing. He was simply basing his understanding on the people based on food. Based on food. I'm not going to share my message of Christ because they're unclean based on what they eat. God knew that until Peter recognized his own individual limitations, that there would be no way he would be ready to accept and encounter the individuals that were coming to the house he was staying in this day, in this time, in this moment. He wouldn't be ready to go visit Cornelius. God was challenging Peter to spend something else, to look at the world with his eyes, not Peter's limiting eyes. What limitations do our eyes create in the world? The second thing I think that we can pull from the scripture passage is this. To achieve unity and diversity, we must change not just our perspective, but we must change our visual perspective from identifying obstacles to instead focus on opportunities and seizing those opportunities. Simon Peter and the other disciples had allowed for a long time the cultural difference between the Jewish people and the Gentile people to prevent them from reaching across the cultural divide. Well, they do not follow the law. Well, they do not become circumcised as they should. Well, they do not follow our dietary restrictions. For so long, Peter had allowed this perspective to change the way he approached God and the world. For so long, Peter had focused on these differences to become obstacles in his literal ministry for Christ as a disciple for Christ. He was allowing these obstacles to prevent him from seeing that God was opening a door to everyone, not just to the Jews. Instead, the obstacles were serving as the lock on the door. They were allowing the obstacles to serve as that prevention from being willing to turn the doorknob. God, however, was opening the door for everyone. Instead of obstacles like Peter saw, like the dietary restrictions that he used in this vision, God was challenging Peter to just see these obstacles as opportunities instead. There were Gentile men and women who loved God, who were seeking God, who needed to hear the message of Christ. Well, who was going to take it to them? Those early Christian disciples. They were the ones that were being challenged to do this. Cornelius the centurion being a perfect example of a Gentile man in this world who was seeking God. Do not let your human perceived obstacles prevent you from following God's divine plan. Don't let those obstacles stop you, Peter. Don't let the human perception of the Gentiles' uncleanliness stop you, Peter. Don't let those be obstacles. These were the lessons that God was teaching in the midst of a vision that day. Are we too often focused on obstacles instead of seeing God providing opportunities? Do the differences that our human eyes see, cultural, political, racial, you name it, does it serve as an obstacle from truly getting in into knowing somebody and learning what God may be doing? Because God was challenging Peter to get over those obstacles and to start a relationship. Let us seize the opportunity that God has laid in front of us. I Pretty sure none of you had a vision about food about an hour ago, right? If you did, raise your hand. That's a divine. Now, you may be, by the time the sermon is over, be thinking about food, but you never know about that. In the workplace, are you letting obstacles get in your way? In your neighborhood, are you letting obstacles get in your way? In your family, are you letting obstacles get in your way? In this church, are you letting division and obstacles get in your way? God thrives in changing obstacles into opportunities. Open your Bible and turn anywhere and you see it. The third thing I think we can learn from this scripture passage that I think speaks to us during this time as well, to achieve unity and diversity, we need to start looking at the world not with our eyes, but with God's eyes. Diverse in nature, but ultimately united through Him. As we recognize our own visual limitations like Peter did, and refocusing obstacles into opportunities like Peter did, then we start to see the world as God sees it. Not as we see it, not as a political party sees it, not as a culture sees it, but as God sees the world. After Peter came out of his visual trance, pondering the meaning of what just happened, he wasn't still sure what God was trying to say to him. A knock came on the door from the servants of Cornelius. Opportunity. Coincidence? By no means. If Peter had received this visit prior to this divine vision, I can guarantee what his response would have been. I'm not going with you. Who's this man? Cornelius? Roman soldier? No. Sorry. Unclean. But instead, his vision had changed, his perspective. All of a sudden, he started looking at the world as God sees it, not as he saw it. He recognized an opportunity instead of an obstacle to reach out to this man, to his family, and to anybody that was gathered around him. Instead of the vision, Peter was seeing diversity for the first time. He was seeing diversity, and it didn't stop there. How God originally intended the world. He didn't create us all alike, did he? That's diversity. That's what God intended. And it was an opportunity to be united by sharing Christ's love. When we start looking at the world through God's eyes, identifying our own limitations, and changing our perceived obstacles into opportunities, we see that He intended diversity from the very beginning, all the way back to Genesis. Diversity. All the animals don't look alike, do they? Diversity. Every region in our world, we're not all cookie cutter to look the same, right? Diversity. Even human beings that with the closest DNA they could possibly have, guess what? They're different. Diversity. Diversity. Each gifted, unique, specially crafted by God's own hands. This is intentional. He doesn't want puppets. He wants His creation unique, working for Him. This is the unifying factor. In the midst of all the diversity and everything that we see that's different from the way we look at the world, He knows that He overcomes everything. So when we see the vision, He overcomes it. When we see diversity, He embraces it. When He sees opportunity, we see Him as obstacles. When He sees opportunities, He challenges us to answer them. His presence in our lives, in our church, in our world can overcome any perceived divide that we possibly can. Because guess what? God is greater. God is greater than any divide. God is greater. So why are we looking at the world with our own eyes? And start looking at it how God sees it. Peter's life was changed that day. A vision from God that challenged his own limited perspective, viewing perceived obstacles as opportunities to be seized. Looking at the created world in which we live in and all its glorious diversity, uniting through God as he originally intended it to be. Now, you might be saying, as I come to an end, that, well, Peter got a vision. If God speaks to me in a vision, those being in the trance, yeah, I'll definitely listen to him. But, guess what the but is? Division. You've divided yourself from others already. The rest of the story tells us that Peter seized this opportunity. He traveled to Cornelius' home. He spread the message of Christ's love to this Roman centurion, his family, and those that were gathered around. And observing the Spirit lie upon them, working through that household and community, he recognized that God was calling him to something greater. And he baptized everyone that was there. Afterwards, we think, oh, this is great. The disciples would be jumping up for joy. They would be excited. Oh, wow, what a great opportunity we have. Afterwards, Peter actually is confronted in Jerusalem by some of the disciples and the apostles for speaking the message to the Gentiles. Division. Even in the midst of seizing God's opportunity, even Peter found division among individuals that he had a bond in Christ with, because they were still looking at the world with their own eyes. Division is prevalent in the New Testament, the Old Testament, and in the world. We can't individually take it away. It's not possible. Because if it was, I'm sure somebody by this point would have changed it. But guess who does? He does. Because he changes our perspective on the world. Looking at the world through God's eyes, seizing opportunities instead of obstacles, recognizing our own human limitations, it's not easy. It's not easy, and I'm not going to say it's easy, especially when we're bombarded at this time of the year, every 4 years especially. But it doesn't change what God intended. And it doesn't change how we're called to approach the world. The divided world will challenge you on a daily basis. Even outside the political realm, the divided world will challenge you. It will challenge you with thoughts. It will challenge you with other people and actions. Don't let it put a divide between you and God for what God originally intended. As I stated earlier, there is no divide that God cannot overcome. Because he changes it, our perspective, and we see diversity. If we follow him, if we start looking at the world with his eyes instead of our own limited eyes, we'll find unity in this world. And we'll find unity in him. Are you willing to step up like Peter? Look at the world with a new set of eyes and change the world. That's what Peter did. That's what God is challenging us to do. And it has to start somewhere. It starts with you. It starts with me. And it starts right now. Let's pray. Father, in a world that seems so divided, so many cracks and crevices and chasms sometimes that separate us in the world, no division can stop you for the love that you are challenging us to take. No division can stop us from becoming united in you. When we embrace and see the diversity that sits in the world. Father, it's not going to be easy. But following you is not always easy. But it's still the call. It's the call that we all have. I hope as we leave this place today, as we go out into the world, that we start seeing the world with your eyes, seeing what you see, creations of God, unique, everybody diverse, and recognizing, guess what? The thing that brings us all together is you. Sometimes we wait on others to do it. When they take that step, I'll take the next, I'll take another step, or I'll take my first step. Father, you're challenging us to not just take a step, to journey to a new world in which we embrace your unity, embrace your love, embrace your diversity. Father, we hope to do that this day and this day forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, if we're to sing our closing hymn, if you feel called, then maybe God has tugged on your heart in some way, the way that he tugged on Peter's heart, who knows? If today you felt that tug for the very first time and you want to embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'll be down front. If you're watching via Facebook Live this morning, if that's what you felt this morning, please contact the church. Call the church. Call me. Email me. Message me. And I will follow up with you as soon as I can. Or maybe today you're trying to find a community that you say, you know what? If they're embracing the world like this, this is something I can get behind. This is something that I can support. This is something that I need to do. This church body, I'm challenging us to do that. And maybe you can join us as we continue to journey to the world in which Christ has led us to go. Or maybe today you just need to come and pray. Maybe you need to lay something on the altar, one of the divisions that's racing through your bodies and your minds, and you say, I just need to give it to God. This morning the altar's open. It's his altar. It's not mine. It's always open. I'll come pray with you this morning. Whatever you're being challenged with this morning, I encourage you to seize the opportunity. See the world in God's eyes. Embrace that diversity. And to walk together into his love. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. To see what the next characteristic is that takes us from diversity to unity. Go in peace.